Thank you. If you would please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. You'll find this on page 884, that is in the Bible in the chair in front of you. On Friday, Nisan 14, 30 AD, Jesus was sentenced to death by crucifixion. He was brutally scourged and then mocked and spat upon. He walked the Via Dolorosa, which is Latin for the sorrowful road, from the Antonio Fortress, which was just inside the city of Jerusalem, to the place of the skull, which was just outside the city of Jerusalem, where he was crucified between two thieves. And there, on that Friday, he hung for several excruciating hours before he finally breathed his last and died. Before the sun set on that Friday, the blackest Friday in all of history, he was taken down from the cross and buried. I invite you now to stand as I read to you about the burial of Jesus in Luke chapter 23, verses 50 through 56. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The woman who had come with him, that is with Jesus, from Galilee, followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Just so far in God's inspired and inerrant word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this account of Jesus' burial, and we thank you for what it is that we will learn from this passage today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Burial practices vary from place to place and even from country to country. And some burial practices are unusual. I went online to see what I could learn about burial practices and learned quite a lot of interesting things. For example, Mary Ellis was born in New Brunswick, New Jersey in 1750. She died alone in 1828 and was buried in the woods, but it is now a parking lot. Legend has it that she was seduced by a sea captain who promised to return someday and marry her. The location is said to be the very spot where she would stand and wait for his ship to come down the Raritan River. That never happened, but there she still remains to this day, now in a grave that is 7 feet above the parking lot that was recently regraded. Or consider the burial of Rufus E. Case, who wanted to be buried in his rocking chair facing his home state of Louisiana. His grave has 3 tiers because one of his children died before him. When he finally died, they entombed him sitting next to his child's coffin in his rocking chair facing his home. And many other unusual burial practices, such as being buried in a car, or having a glass window at the head of the tomb so that people could look in on the deceased person, and so on. Interestingly, we actually know quite a bit about the burial of Jesus Christ. Each of the 4 Gospels describes the burial of Jesus on that Friday afternoon, late on the afternoon, on Nisan 14, 30 AD. And today, as we look at the burial of Jesus in Luke chapter 23, I really want to focus on the actions of some of Jesus' disciples. I want to use the following outline today. First, I want to see that the burial of Jesus shows us the boldness of Joseph of Arimathea. And then I want to see the burial of Jesus shows us the obedience of the woman from Galilee. So with that as an outline, let's go ahead. First, the burial of Jesus shows us the boldness of Joseph of Arimathea. Luke said in verse 50 that there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. Now, scholars don't know the exact location of Arimathea. However, the reason Luke said that Joseph was from Arimathea, or from the Jewish town of Arimathea, was to make sure that he was not confused with any other Joseph that was living at the time of Jesus. Luke mentioned a number of characteristics that were true of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. Joseph did not consent to the Jewish Sanhedrin's decision, of which he was a member, to have Jesus sent to Pilate in order to be sentenced to death by crucifixion. Now, we don't know why he did not consent to their decision and action. Perhaps he was away on business, or perhaps he simply didn't agree with them in the meeting. Whatever the reason, he was not party to their decision and action. Matthew mentioned in his gospel that Joseph was rich and that he also was a disciple of Jesus. Although John in his gospel said that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, ordinarily, the Romans left their victims of crucifixion on the cross where they were crucified. They left them there partly so that it would be a warning to the people, but they left them there to rot or to be eaten by dogs and vultures. And after some time, they would eventually throw their remains into a common grave. But Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. It's very striking to me that all four Gospels mention the body of Jesus. The significance of this fact, says Philip Ryken, is that it confirms the reality of the death of Jesus Christ. There is no question here of him simply swooning on the cross and then recovering in the tomb, as some have tried to argue, however desperately. No, Jesus was actually dead and therefore needed to be buried. Now, Jesus' death was confirmed in a number of ways. First, in order to hasten their deaths, the soldiers broke the legs of the criminals who were crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they discovered that he was already dead, and so they did not break his legs. Second, Jesus' death was confirmed when the soldier pierced his side with a spear, and at once water and blood came out. As Phil Ryken notes, in medical terms, this was an effusion of blood into the pericardium, a telltale sign of death. And finally, Jesus' death was confirmed when Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to ask him for the body of Jesus. Mark notes in his gospel that Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. So Jesus was really dead and therefore needed to be buried. But now that Jesus was dead, Joseph had a decision to make. As John said, he was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. Would he go public with his discipleship? Would he let others know that he really was a disciple of Jesus? Joseph made a decision that he would do everything in his power to give the body of Jesus a decent burial. So, refusing to remain a secret disciple any longer, Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Mark noted in his gospel that Joseph took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And after Pilate confirmed the death of Jesus, he allowed Joseph to bury the body of Jesus. And so Joseph took down Jesus' body and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. And John tells us in his gospel that Joseph had help, because Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Although Joseph of Arimathea had been a secret disciple of Jesus, he finally became bold and went public with his faith. He went to Pilate, presumably because Joseph was rich and a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the council. He was able to get a quick audience with Pilate. And Joseph realized that although his faith was personal, it could no longer remain private. And Phil Ryken puts it this way: it was at the cross where Joseph took his stand, confessing Jesus in his death. He had been looking for the kingdom of God, and now he found it in the body of the royal Messiah who died for his sins. So with noble courage and gentle affection, Joseph gave honor to his Lord by wrapping his body in a linen shroud and respectfully laying it to rest, thus fulfilling Isaiah's ancient prophecy that the Savior would be buried in a rich man's tomb, Isaiah 53:9. The burial of Jesus shows us the boldness of Joseph of Arimathea. He would no longer be a secret disciple. He would boldly make known to everyone that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. So the question is, what about you? Are you a secret disciple of Jesus? You know, it's one thing to come to church on Sunday morning and worship with the people of God. But do your family know that you're a disciple of Jesus? How about the people in your office, or your neighborhood, or at school? How would people who know you answer this question? What do you know about so-and-so? Is he a Christian? Is she a disciple of Jesus Christ? Dr. Ryken exhorts us as follows: stop being a secret disciple of Jesus and stand with Jesus at the cross. Indeed, it is always at the cross where Christians stand with Christ, sharing in the offense of crucifixion and serving him by proclaiming the message of the cross to a world lost in sin. Friends, Jesus died to pay the penalty for sin. And if he's paid the penalty for your sin, tell others about it, so that they can go to heaven and not to hell. The second thing we learn about the burial of Jesus is that the burial of Jesus shows us the obedience of the woman from Galilee. Luke said that the woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared the spices and ointments. You know, one of the things that people say who are critics of Christianity is that the women were mistaken about where Jesus' tomb was. They weren't. They were very careful in seeing exactly where Jesus was laid. So when they went back a few days later, they went to the correct tomb. But then Luke also says, on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Now, we don't know the exact identity of the woman who had traveled with Jesus all the way from Galilee. Luke 24:10 says that it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman who went to the tomb of Jesus. These women had supported Jesus during his public ministry for most of the previous 3 years. And I don't know if this struck you, but one of the commentators brought this to my attention. Where were the apostles? The apostles were gone. Nowhere to be found when Jesus was taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But the women from Galilee were with Jesus every step of the way to the bitter end. Like Joseph and Nicodemus, they wanted to ensure that Jesus received a proper burial. However, they did not have the connections to receive the body of Jesus. And so they lingered at the cross, no doubt stricken with grief and sorrow. And yet, probably also hoping and praying that somehow God would enable them to take care of their beloved Jesus. So imagine their surprise and delight when they saw Joseph and Nicodemus remove the body of Jesus from the cross. They followed them and noticed exactly where the body of Jesus was buried. But because the Sabbath was about to begin, which began at sunset on Friday evening, they rested according to the commandment. Now, Philip Ryken notes the following about the woman from Galilee, and he says this: everything these women did commends their godly character. They recognized the dignity of the human body, even at the time of death. They were careful to honor God with a day of worship and rest. If ever there was an exception to the fourth commandment, it would have been on this day, the last Sabbath for the people of God before the coming of the Lord's day with the resurrection. And for this reason, to honor the body of the Son of God. But the closest disciples of Jesus Christ were serious about keeping the Sabbath. In doing so, they were simply following the teaching and example of their Lord, who loved to be in his Father's house every week for worship. This is one of the ways they honored God, by resting on his holy day. And one of the applications we should take away from the woman of Galilee is this: how well do we honor God on the Lord's day? Is it a day of worship and rest for us? Is it a day reserved for God and the things of God? Or is it a day for ourselves to do with it as we please? The woman from Galilee had just lost their beloved Jesus. They were stricken with grief and sorrow and disappointment. And yet, they took care to honor God. They didn't know what the future held. They didn't know about Sunday yet. But they were going to honor and obey God. You and I, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, honor him by obeying his commands. We delight in obeying our Lord and are horrified when we break one of his commandments. And so let me encourage you to recommit yourself to walking in obedience to every commandment that God has given us in his word. So, how does this then apply further to us? We should remember that Jesus' death and his burial were a necessary prelude to his resurrection. What is so interesting about Joseph and the woman from Galilee is that they were bold and obedient on Friday. You see, they did not yet know about Jesus' resurrection 3 days later on that coming Sunday. And yet, they were bold in their profession of faith of Jesus as his disciple, and they were still obedient to God's commands. Dr. Tony Campolo, is a retired professor of sociology at the Eastern University in St. David's, Pennsylvania. He's also an ordained Baptist minister serving as an associate pastor in a predominantly black church in West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that is called Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And Dr. Campolo's best-known sermon is titled, "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." He tells a story about how he was preaching in his home church one Good Friday. In fact, in that predominantly black church, and you have to imagine a black church when you hear the story, there were seven preachers preaching back to back to back on that Friday. And when it was his turn to preach, he says he rolled into high gear and he was good that day. And the more he preached, the more the congregation turned on. And the more the congregation turned on, the better he got. He said that he was so good that he wanted to take notes on himself. When he finished his sermon, the congregation broke loose. He was thrilled to hear the hallelujahs and the cries of joy that broke loose throughout that place. And he sat down next to his pastor, and the pastor looked at him with a smile. The pastor reached down with his hand and squeezed Dr. Campolo's knee. "You did all right," he said. Dr. Campolo turned to him and asked, "Pastor, are you going to be able to top that?" And the old pastor just smiled at Dr. Campolo and said, "Son, you just sit back, because this old man is going to do you in." Dr. Campolo said that he didn't figure that anybody could have done him in that day. He'd been so good. But the old pastor got up, and Dr. Campolo said, "I have to admit it, he did me in." The amazing thing is that the pastor did it with the use of just one line. For over an hour and a half, he preached one line over and over again. For an hour and a half, he stood that crowd on its ear with just one line. The old pastor started his sermon real softly by saying, "It was Friday. It was Friday. And my Jesus was dead on a tree. But that was Friday. And Sunday's coming." One of the deacons yelled, "Preach, brother, preach." It was all the encouragement that he needed. He came on louder as he said, "It was Friday, and Mary was crying her eyes out. The disciples were running in every direction, like sheep without a shepherd. But that was Friday, but Sunday's coming." People in the congregation were beginning to pick up on the message. Women were waving their hands in the air and calling softly, "Well, well." And some of the men were yelling, "Keep going, keep going." The preacher kept going. He picked up the volume still more and shouted, "It was Friday." The cynics were looking at the world and saying, "As things have been, so they shall be. You can't change anything in this world. You can't change anything." But those cynics didn't know that it was Friday, but Sunday is coming. It was Friday. And on Friday, those forces that oppress the poor and make the poor to suffer were in control. But that was Friday. But Sunday is coming. It was Friday. Jesus was arrested in the garden where he was praying. That was Friday. But Sunday is coming. It was Friday. The disciples were hiding and Peter was denying that he knew the Lord. That was Friday. But Sunday is coming. It was Friday. Jesus was standing before the high priest of Israel, silent as a lamb before the slaughter. That was Friday, but Sunday is coming. It was Friday. And on Friday, Pilate thought he had washed his hands of a lot of trouble. The Pharisees were strutting around, laughing and poking each other in the ribs. They thought they were back in control of things, but they didn't know that it was only Friday. But Sunday's coming. It was Friday. Jesus was beaten, mocked, and spat upon. That was Friday. But Sunday's coming. It was Friday. Those Roman soldiers flogged our Lord with a leather scourge that has bits of bone and glass and metal tearing at his flesh. That was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. The Son of Man stood firm as they pressed a crown of thorns on his head and into his brow. That was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. See him walking to Calvary, the blood dripping from his body. See the cross crashing down on his back as he stumbled beneath the load. That was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. See those Romans driving the nails into his feet and into the hands of my Lord. Hear Jesus cry, "Father, forgive them." It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. Jesus was hanging on the cross, bloody and dying. That was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. The sky grew dark and the earth began to tremble. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Holy God, who will not abide with sin, pours out his wrath on that perfect sacrificial lamb who cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday, and that moment of Jesus' death, the curtain in the temple that separates sinful man from a holy God, was torn in two, because that was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. Jesus was hanging on the cross. Heaven was weeping and hell was partying. But that's because it's Friday and they didn't know it. But Sunday's coming. He kept on working that one phrase for half an hour, then an hour, then an hour and a quarter, and an hour and a half, over and over. He came on to the congregation saying, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." By the time he had come to the end of the message, Dr. Gampolo says that he was exhausted. The old pastor had him and everybody else so worked up that Dr. Gampolo didn't think that any of them could have stood it any longer. And at the end of the message, the pastor just yelled at the top of his lungs, "It's Friday!" And with one accord, all 500 people in that congregation shouted back, "But Sunday's coming! But Sunday's coming!" Friends, we know about Friday, but we also know about Sunday. We know that on Sunday, God raised Jesus back to life again. We know that Jesus was victorious over the grave and death and sin. So let us, who know that, live in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let us be bold in our faith and our discipleship of Jesus. And let us walk in obedience to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, Jesus died on Friday, but thank God Sunday came. On that blackest of Fridays in all of history, your Son, the sinless Son of God, died an excruciating death on the cross, and he did so to pay for our sins, that we could be reconciled to you by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Joseph of Arimathea determined to be bold and became a public disciple of Jesus as he requested the body of Jesus from Pilate. And the woman from Galilee determined to live in obedience to every commandment of Jesus. And they did so by honoring you on the Sabbath day. Oh God, help each one of us to be bold for Jesus and help each one of us to live in obedience to every commandment in your word. And for this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.